Good evening and welcome to the November 16th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. I'd like to state there's a quorum present. We are missing our chairman, Marlis McPherson. And as you may know by now, she's been elected to the city council here with the most recent election, to which I congratulate her and to congratulate the other two contestants also that were running. In either case, if we could, let's have a moment of silence. Okay. Are there any announcements from anybody on the board? I'll start with you, Stu.
I don't have anything.
Oh, okay.
I have one.
Oh, okay.
Because by our next meeting, this will be over. So I want everybody to know now that once again, the Morro Bay Surfboard Art Festival is happening right now. And it will wrap up on the 3rd of December at the Inn at Morro Bay. There will be an art sale all day long there with the surfboards that you'll see on display around town being for sale, as well as other pieces of artwork by the participating artists. And the proceeds, of course, help benefit Morro Bay in Bloom, as well as Project Surf Camp. So if you haven't made your way around town yet to see the artwork on these surfboards, you have about two and a half weeks, and then the art sale will be happening. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, David. How about you, Jan?
Morro Bay Lighted Boat Parade is generally on the first Saturday of December, and this year it's going to be on the second Saturday of December because there is an exceptionally low tide on the first Saturday, on the third. So for those of you who haven't heard and are planning to go, the Lighted Boat Parade will be on December 10th.
Thank you. Okay. How about you, Rick?
Just a reminder, I don't know whether you would have mentioned it, but there will be four potential vacancies on the Public Works Advisory Board, and the last day to submit applications would be December 2nd, Friday, December 2nd.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Okay, actually, I don't have any announcements or presentations. Let's go ahead and go to the, are there any presentations? I'm sorry. Let's go ahead to the public comment period. Is there anyone wishing to speak from the audience? If you're here to speak, I would ask that you please give your name and city of residence when you come up to the podium.
Leave it to me, huh? I would like to speak on public comment. Did I miss it?
I got to ask, it's for items not on the agenda.
Oh, this is so not on the agenda. It's amazing, huh? We're talking about turkeys. We're talking about cooked turkey. We're talking about turkey dinner next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, at the Morro Bay Community Center. We're hoping to have a small party for 600 and feed them all and share music with them and have a wonderful time. And everybody's invited. Anybody? You know, and we do take donations, but if you don't have anything to donate, just come on down and eat. And I'd really like to get out to people that there are deliveries of meals, and you can call either the wonderful Chamber of Commerce at 772-4467 or the Senior Center at, oops, I didn't get my image up there, 4421, I'm pretty sure, 772. And order a meal to go in our wonderful police department. The officers deliver the meals to anybody who needs a meal delivered. So I sure hope people will come out. We're still looking for volunteers. That old cleanup crew after three would be well filled out by any of you guys. So get in touch with us and come out and enjoy it. And wherever you are, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I'm truly grateful for all of you and the service you provide the city. Thank you.
Who was that informative person at this podium?
Oh, yeah, the mystery person forgot to give her name. Yeah. I'm Nancy Castle. Living Treasure 2016. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Okay, moving right along. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, we'll go ahead and move to the consent calendar for approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion from anyone to accept?
I move we approve the minutes of October 19th as presented.
Okay. Okay. And Stu seconds.
I'll give that second to Stu.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Moving on, we're going directly into the business items, and that's the director's report, and I'll turn it over to you, Rob.
So as usual, highlighted the activities for the previous month in the director's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Just want to highlight one thing to start out. The facilities master plan for the new water reclamation facility was released about a week ago. It's on the city's website. There's a link directly from the front page to get to the facilities master plan, and then also the PowerPoint presentation that was presented on Monday that kind of is the report in brief for that. In the back of the room, if anybody's interested, there are these comment forms to provide any comments that you might have on the facilities master plan. You can fill one out, drop it off at Public Works. We have these at our counter, so if you're not here in the room, you can pick one up there. You can also just email the deputy project manager, and that's John Rickenbach, J-R-I-C-K-E-N-B-A-C-H at morrobayca.gov, and that's morrobayca.gov. And we'd be happy to receive any comments. We will have a Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee coming up on December the 6th, I believe. First Tuesday of the month from 3 to 5 in this room, just prior to the Planning Commission meeting, and where the project management team will present that the Facilities Master Plan to the WRFCAC and take any comments from the committee at that time. So if any WRFCAC members are listening, we have your hard copies down at our office that are available for pickup.
I already got mine. It weighs at least 15 pounds.
We also have printed copies at our office for people to view at the library and at City Hall. So if you don't want to look at it online, there is a printed copy to look at. Thank you.
It is helpful looking at the printed copy. I'm going to start with you, Rick. Do you have any questions on the director's report?
Thank you. I do have a couple questions. Under streets, on the suggested options to be considered, I would like to see the option of dedicating something like 90% of the garbage franchise fee to street improvement, you know, added in as a suggestion for them. And then at the bottom of the page, under the water Choro stream gauge, could you explain to me, it says to address appropriated right issues identified during the meeting. What exactly does that mean, and what are those rights?
In the 90s, I believe it was, the city applied for appropriate rights to use their wells in Choro Creek. The city does not overlie the Choro Creek groundwater flowing underground stream. So it's one of the types of groundwater aquifers that are regulated by the state board, and they issue permits for that if you're an appropriator. So the city is an appropriator to that water rights. They set up a series of conditions. One of those conditions was to install stream gauges up and downstream of our well field there so that we could assess the effects of withdrawals on the stream. It's taken us a while to get that project going. I think it was forgotten about for a while in the 90s and early 2000s. And we're working our way through the regulatory process now. And National Marine Fisheries Service is concerned about blocking fish passage in that creek. So they're reviewing those plans and hope to have comments from them back soon so we can get those stream gauges installed. We have many years, 30 years to basically prove beneficial use of that water right. So we so do have some.
Do you have to perfect it? Is that
yes, we have to perfect that. Well, I thank you for the correct word, Steve. We have to perfect that water right to show that the city can make beneficial use. Choro Creek is somewhat difficult to do that with because the stream flow needs to be at 1.4 CFS, and it requires rain for the stream to be flowing. So we haven't really used Choro Creek in quite a few years. Also, the Choro Creek aquifer does have nitrates in it. So we're looking at potential, if we can't meet it with blending, to some sort of wellhead treatment out there. So that's, in a nutshell, the Choro Creek groundwater issues.
Thank you. Then down to water operations. Each month you list the water performed work requests, like 636 this time, and you give a sampling of the various jobs that entails. Would it be difficult to just sort of attach numbers to those different requests so that we can see if there's a change, you know, month to month, where the work burden is, and something like that?
What I could do is attach just a summary report where we pull this out of, that we get from our water operations staff as an appendix to this report, so you'll have the details right there.
All right, thank you. Then under wastewater collections, the last item, the October staff responded to the maintenance mainline sanitary sewer overflow. Where was that, and what was the cause of that?
I don't recall where the mainline blockage was, but generally it's a root issue where we have material that hangs up on those roots, and we get an overflow at that point. Comes out of the manhole there.
And these are situations that get reported to the state?
Yes. Any spill of, typically the spills are private sewer lateral spills, are most of the spills that we report. And occasionally we do have a mainline spill, and it's mainly due to roots. We do have a root and mainline videoing and cleaning program, but we can't get to everything all at the same time. So that line was, it just came to me where that was. It was up in the North Morro Bay on the Laurel easement. There's a sewer line that goes where the dead end of Laurel, Nutmeg, Maple, where those streets dead end, there's a sewer line easement there, and that's where that spill was along there. It didn't make it to storm drain system, and it was cleaned up prior to, getting to storm drain or any receiving water.
Okay, thank you. Then under wastewater operations, the fourth bullet, staff continued to investigate the operational issues associated with a plant upset during the month of October. Is that related to the chlorine contact tank that we talked about last month?
No, it's probably caused by multiple things. We had very high pH from one of our customers that was causing some operational problems. We worked with them for them to lower the pH of their wastewater. We also have very low flows from our wastewater plant because of water conservation. So it's exacerbated the concentration of this high pH or basic, too basic of water. And then the third thing that was happening is we switched from ferrous sulfide to calcium ammonium nitrate for odor control at our lift stations. And one of the side effects of the CAN 17 or calcium ammonium nitrate is nitrification at the plant and causing gas bubbles and bringing those suspended solids up. So we had a problem with suspended solids at the plant. We did actually violate one day after this report was generated last month. We have a limit of 105 milligrams per liter of total suspended solids, and we went out the door last Friday with 106. But we have the situation under control, and we're way down below 100 now. So thanks to our diligent operators there. And, you know, it's truly is a big science project sometimes to figure out when the plant goes wrong. It's a big, a big living organism that we have to maintain.
All right. Thank you.
Jan?
Thank you, Rick, for asking some of my questions. Rob, do you know what the final count was on Proposition J, Measure J?
It was under 66%. I don't remember how many votes under it was. I don't think the two-thirds majority, maybe Rick might know. He looks like he's
I think there's still like 17,000 votes or 12,000 votes that still need to be counted countywide.
I know it was very close, and I don't know that we'll know the final answer until the clerk certifies the election.
Okay, thank you.
It was supposed to update today at 3 in the afternoon, but I haven't seen those results.
Okay, thank you. I hadn't seen it either, and I thought I had just missed. I thought everybody's just being so quiet about it.
Yeah, Rick Sauerwein out in the audience just said that going to be an update at 3 this afternoon, and but we don't have that.
So the count's still out, basically.
The count's still out.
Okay, good.
And then another, just a curiosity here, under wastewater operations on the first bullet during the month of October. The biosolids were hauled to Liberty Composting Facility, approximately 300 cubic yards, representing 1 year's worth of dried biosolids. Do they just store them here and just do them, haul them once a year, or did we have an exceptionally high month in October?
That's correct. We haul them once a year, so that was 300 cubic yards of solid residuals from the community of Morro Bay that get generated in 1 year's time. So,
is that how it will be at the new plant, or do you know that?
New plant will probably be hauled more often because of the process that we're going to use. There won't be anaerobic digestion. It'll be waste-activated sludge that will go to a screw press that will be transported out at probably, 4 to 5% solids, maybe a little bit more than that. We'll have to transport that more often than we do right now, because we won't have the digestion. But the processes that give us the highly treated wastewater don't lend themselves to anaerobic digestion as readily as a trickling filter or conventional activated sludge plant would.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. David?
Rick and Jan went and asked all my questions, so I got nothing.
Chris?
My only question is, excuse me, under consolidated maintenance, you mentioned staff gearing up for major renovations of public restrooms. Can you kind of give us a brief explanation of where and what's happening?
So we've been working on this for the last couple of years, where we change out fixtures and seal the floors to reduce the odor issue, especially in the men's restroom. Not everybody has a good aim as others. Sealing the floor makes it easier to clean. Fixtures, we're going with low flow fixtures. So basically focusing on the waterfront restrooms. The Del Mar Park restroom, working with a local nonprofit that's just forming now. And they're looking at volunteering to work with us to provide the labor to replace that, and perhaps buy the materials too. Hopefully we'll, within the next year or so, have a brand new restroom at Del Mar Park.
Thank you. Okay, Stuart.
Just to you, the tank that's on top of Nutmeg, looks like you're waiting for a request for proposal to be drafted. Are we doing that in-house?
Yeah, we would write the request for proposal and then send it out for consulting engineers to propose upon to finish that design work and move the environmental document forward.
Great. It'd sure be nice to have water pressure on Hemlock, more than 20 pounds. We mentioned in here the coastal development permit application for the RO plant. Is that a complicated process? We've been going on with this for some time, and does it involve money in replacing much of the plant, or what's going on with the RO plant?
So the RO plant, the plant itself was issued a local City of Morro Bay coastal development permit. The saltwater wells and the outfall and the piping is in original jurisdiction because we have to get to the ocean. So Coastal Commission issues that permit. In the early 90s, they issued a permit on that those facilities, but it had a time clock associated with it. And it said, city, you do these things, prepare a water management plan, and you test the brine that comes out of there and report back to us. Well, State Water came online about that time and we stopped using that plant, so we failed to meet those requirements. The permit expired. It got put in a box somewhere up in Santa Cruz and forgotten about, in fact, by Coastal too. Then in the early 2000s, when we needed to run that plant, nobody was here that remembered that there was an expiring coastal development permit. We ran the plant like we thought we were able to, because we had a locally issued coastal development permit on the plant itself, just not on the ancillary facilities. During the last generation of wastewater treatment plants, as Coastal was doing research, they came up with that old permit and said, you guys need to do something about this. We applied for a new coastal development permit and last month did receive it for intermittent operation of the ancillary facility. So we're now can operate it under permit as we need to. The next phase we'll be going for is for continuous operation if we need to run it. So that we can have it as part of the city's water portfolio, should we need to use it, should we desire to council desire in the future to not have State Water and look at more local water supplies. So that'll be the next phase of the project. It really doesn't involve, until we get the permit, any upgrades to the process. And the only thing we really need to upgrade is add more calcium carbonate tank capacity there, because with RO'd water, it is so soft or so aggressive that we have to add a little bit of hardness back to it. Otherwise, it's corrosive to both the plumbing system and the human body. We add calcium carbonate as we take everything out of the water to make it pure water, and then we add calcium carbonate back into it to increase the pH a little bit, so it's more neutral and not so aggressive or acidic. Isn't so hard on plumbing and those of us that drink it.
Thank you. I recall that when we had the lady down from the state that talked about our available supply of water here, we were three or four times more water availability than we use in Morro Bay for our 1,000 residents. Is there a possibility of fixing the plant and perhaps selling excess water to like the farmers with the avocado trees? I had to pay $7 an avocado the other day, and here we are with trees up here that are seriously in drought stance.
RO water would be very expensive to irrigate avocados with. It's about, for saltwater RO, about $1,600 an acre foot, or $1,000 an acre foot if we're treating it from our Morro Valley wells. So to pull the water out of their wells when they do have water, $100 an acre foot, maybe, Rick? $200 to $300 an acre foot for when they do have water, so it's a an issue with cost, and our local coastal plan does not allow us to provide water outside of our corporate limits.
Do we see that as being beneficial to the city and perhaps augment the cost of our new WRF in the future?
Perhaps, although I've never experienced or read of a water reclamation facility project where they were able to recoup even the costs of producing reclaimed water as sales to agricultural operations.
And that's all I have.
Oh, okay. I'm boiled it down to one question. Actually, there's been a lot of good questions today. Under the streets, it's the last bullet item under streets, and it's talking about allocating a portion of the TOTs to a dedicated street fund. And I don't think I've heard that brought up before in all our discussions about the streets. And I guess my question is, I assume this came up at council coming back directing staff to look at these. Is it kosher for TOTs? I don't know if that's just strictly general fund money that can go to anything, or does there have to be a nexus based on what the TOTs are for?
The TOT is general fund money, so it can be used for any legitimate government purpose.
I guess my only question would be, I would hope to think so that there isn't a lot of heartburn, because I know a lot of the moteliers in town feel like sometimes the TOTs are high, that those monies would be used at least on the streets adjacent, or, you know, within the proximity of where the hotel districts are, so to speak, because you're taking a very segmented portion of money, even though it is general fund money, I could see for that purpose. And other than that, I did notice that you got crack in the octopus going down
there. We do.
Park, that's pretty cool. I thought that looked very good.
I think there's yet to be some dolphin riders yet to be installed down there. Another play element that will be added down there.
Very good. That's it for me. Is anyone in the public wish to speak on this item B1, the director's report? Okay. This is just an advice, and we'll move on to B2. Flip there. Okay, and this is for the Centennial Staircase Concept Plan. And at this point, I'll turn it over to the Public Works staff. Or actually, it looks like Scott's.
Can I give it a shot?
Mr. Graham.
Okay. Just a little update. Mr. Sauerwine gave us the latest vote tally. So there's about 8,600 votes left to count. J16 is at 65.68%. With 76,174 and 39,795 votes against. Yeah. So that's where we sit as a five and with a few votes left to count.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you.
Rick.
Okay, picking up on item B, it's a look at the latest and greatest plans, fresh off the presses, which is why it wasn't included in your packet. We apologize for that. We thought we were going to have them in time for you to get them ahead of the meeting, but that just didn't turn out to be the case, and so you ended up with a non-annotated site plan as kind of a placeholder, and then at the dais there you have the the copies of the latest and greatest for the Centennial Parkway plan and the two options for widening the sidewalk on the Embarcadero and looking at improvements for delivery truck drop-offs and car unloading and things like that. And I'll touch on each one of these separately.
Excuse me, Scott. I don't know if you've been here before. So this is Scott Graham, our community development director, as a guest with us tonight.
Yeah.
Usually you'd see him on Tuesday nights every other with the Planning Commission. So thanks, Scott, for coming out tonight to our Public Works Advisory Board.
Should have introduced myself. Sorry. And so this effort has been ongoing, and it stems from the city's FY15-16 goal setting process. So it's kind of been ongoing for a while. We've had public workshops. We've had stakeholder outreach, focus group outreach. We most recently had a joint planning commission, city council, and harbor advisory board meeting on September 27th. And then followed up with a city council meeting where they reviewed it and provided comment. So all of those folks provided comment on the plan on the 27th. RRM is the consultant that's preparing the plan. They went back and worked their magic on it and have brought back what you see before you this evening. It includes a redo of the Centennial Stair area. At the top of the stair, moving down, you have, I wonder if this is going to show up. So it is kind of dark on the screen, but you have the top of the stair up there. There's an area for display of public art, and there's sort of this staircase down the slope area here where it creates seating for a stage area that's down there where you could program it with music events or art events and things like that. The overall plaza concept there could be also programmed for farmers markets and things like that. This proposal also keeps the chessboard, and I think expands the number of individual areas where you can, tables where you can play chess as well. There's a slide element here, a glass elevator located in this location here to provide access to the top and the bottom of the bluff. You see kind of a paving in the form of a pier kind of design that goes from one side of the Embarcadero to the other. One of the comments that came out of the meetings on the 27th was to widen the area, the transition from one side of the Embarcadero to the other, and to sort of extend, so you're extending that plaza area. This would be sort of a raised area through here. And you'll also see when you're coming across and going towards the harbor side of the Embarcadero where we have fire pits. There's three of them there and there. There's also a children's sand pit play area with rock feature. This also suggests extending the sort of short pier that we have out there now out to the edge of the channel. And there's a little viewing, it's hard to see on the screen, but a little viewing glass kind of feature that's at the very end of the pier. And then to the right, you see the sort of renderings of what it would look like from a perspective standpoint, the top one being for the area on the east side of the Embarcadero, and the bottom one being a rendering for the west side of the Embarcadero. In those renderings, you see the fire pit for the west side. You also note it, when this council and the planning commission and Harbor Advisory Board reviewed the plans, there were some really tall lights that went through here, kind of representing the pier pylons. and it seemed like a desire to have more low-level lighting, and so those were removed in this instance. If you switch the page on your packet, and we now would be looking at the information that's provided on the standalone board there, you see two options for traffic. One of them is a two-way option that provides a widened sidewalk on the Embarcadero side to 10 feet. Several of the sidewalk sections, if you've walked down along the Embarcadero down there, are 5 feet or even narrower in some instances. You can't, in many areas, even walk side by side with someone, and oftentimes on busy weekends you see people walking in the street. And so the concept here was to widen the sidewalk to provide better pedestrian flow along the street and to better accommodate pedestrians. One of the issues that came out of that was, hey, while we're doing this, solve the delivery truck offloading issue that we have. So instead of having delivery trucks offloading in the middle of the street, we're going to provide designated areas along the Embarcadero to offload delivery trucks. And then the parking that you do see for cars on the west side would really be for loading and unloading only. And you'll notice that on the east side of the Embarcadero, in either one of the options, the two-way or one-way option, that we remove the parking. The one-way option allows us to have a slightly wider sidewalk on the west side, and that instead of 10, we would get a 12-foot sidewalk. And then that both accommodate bikes in the form of sharrows. In the one-way, you have sharrows going one way, and then a dedicated bike lane coming back the other way. And then for the two-way, you just have sharrows going in both directions. What we're hoping to get out of this board this evening is input related to, just in general, should we do this? Is this something that is a good fit for the location down there? We realized that we'd run it through a couple of the boards, but we thought when we got this input back that we'd run it through some more. We're also going to run it by Park and Recs to see what they say about it. We realized we hadn't been to the Public Works Advisory Board and thought we'd come by and show it to you and get your take on it. And so we're really kind of just looking at for three things of three forms of input from you. Would be one, should we do it? Two, do you have comments, concerns, suggestions? And three, do you like one way or do you like two way? We might, and it's also been suggested, if we do decide to go one way, we design it for two way and then test out what it looks like for one way with bollards and sort of temporary improvements to see how it works. Not necessarily a bad idea, especially here in Morro Bay, so that might be one option that we pursue as far as this plan goes as well. In the end, I'm going to take whatever input you'd like to provide, and we'll roll that up into the process with the input we get from the other boards and report back to council, and they'll ultimately make a decision about whether they want more changes or whether they want to leave it the way that it is. We are at the end of the contract with RRM with this, so any changes we have above and beyond this will result in amendments to the contract to increase scope. So that's about it in a nutshell. If you have questions for me, that'd be great. If not, so you just have comments, that'd be good too. And answers to those questions would be much appreciated.
Okay, thank you. We'll start with the questions first, and I'll start with you, Skip.
My thinking is that's a great idea. And when I look at the rendering here, I see children down there playing, families moving around, and that kind of thing. I think that's a great asset for Morro Bay, and it'll be something that we can tune on television and will become known for over the long haul. Sooner or later, we're going to take this other facility where Dienergy is and do something with it. And it would seem to me that would dovetail right in with, we are also a fishery, we're also a friendly place for families, and so on. One of the issues I can see there, and it's probably been talked about, is, of course, it does get a little cool in the afternoons and evenings down there, and I would question whether the fire pits would be enough to keep them warm. Maybe we need some big heaters or something there. Mm. That's something to think about. The one-way thing, or the two-way, it would bear looking at other cities that have done that. I don't know what Santa Barbara has got. Of course, that's a wide street they've got right there next to the waterfront. But we do need to do something with traffic congestion there, and we do need to provide for bicycles and also for that walkway definitely needs to be 9 or 10 feet or something like that. That's imperative that would happen. And that would enhance the family traffic there when you could walk together. And I do like the glass bridge on the end, one of the views. It's kind of like walking out on the Sears Tower in Chicago or walking out on the Grand Canyon. And that would be something that I'll guarantee you the news media and the other people around would point to Morro Bay and say, you can go out there and see fish or do whatever. And since we're redoing the aquarium anyway, here again, that would be another feature that would tie in with it. I would question the cost of doing all this, and of course we can't burden our citizens with this. And do we have a Hewlett-Packard or a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett or somebody that's interested? What have we been doing, Scott, to create interest in people that have financing and ability to do that?
So that's a great question, and one we've been talking about quite a bit. What we'd be looking at in all likelihood here is, where this comes out on the west side especially, you have a couple of lease sites there, Libertine. We just issued a consent to landowner for that to be redone. Right adjacent to that, you have Off the Hook. One of the RFP proposals that we got back, proposed a combined project. Some other ones had the project separate. We're going to be revisiting that. Rose's Landing's coming in with a project to add a revision to the second floor and convert the restaurant area to hotel rooms. And so there is some ability for us to work in a public-private partnership, especially since we hold the lease site rights in those locations, to work out getting some of these improvements put in by the developers that are adjacent. We would want them to take a look at it as well, because they could program their buildings and orient their buildings toward it. You see in the renderings that the renderings kind of do that, and that was just sort of taking the idea that the Liberty might want to have its commercial areas on the lower floor faced into the plaza, and so you could have because they're proposing put the Libertine pub back in once they redo it, so there would be a brewery there again, and so you could program the space to sort of interact with it, which would be a good idea. Rose's Landing could do the same thing. And so I think it's probably likely that it happens that way. On the other side, we own the property where the parking lot is below the bluff, so all the area to the right over here, on the top of the bluff you have D'Estasio's restaurant. City owns that. And owns the parking lot that's across Market Street that has about 40 parking spaces in it, something like that. We own that. We own the parking lot and where the bathroom is that fronts on the Centennial Stair area here. We're going to be going out with a request for qualifications to see if we can't entice some developer type folks to come in and propose development there. Might look like retail along the Embarcadero with a parking structure behind it, and up on the bluff maybe a hotel with some retail or a restaurant, that type of thing. And we would have a lot of leeway there to say lease site for $1 a year, and then they would have them put in the improvements on that side for much of this. So again, public-private partnerships is how we're looking to at least address much of the funding that would be necessary to implement these. These plans are kind of like a menu of options that are available to us. I mean, I would almost guarantee you that as we did move forward with finalized plans for implementation of these, it would probably look somewhat different because it would all be dependent on how we worked those deals with the leaseholders or the folks that we come in on with the RFQ and eventually move down the road with development, if we're successful anyway. So that's how we're looking at it right now. I mean, and those are actually short-term things that we're going to be doing. So we'll know more as those processes move forward, but they're happening right now. So after we get an approval on the plan, we'll kind of know what in general we're looking for, and then we'll be able to maybe negotiate those with some of the folks that are doing development over there.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris, any questions?
In general, I think the plan's a great idea. A couple of the concerns that I see, I do like the idea of going one way with traffic, though my concern with the design showed basically you are fully restricted to one lane of traffic flowing. So we definitely need to make sure we have enough delivery zone area, because they'll tend to block the road otherwise. And I know during the city council hearing, they had mentioned San Luis kind of gets the early bird drop off, so we're kind of left over with they come at whatever time they can come, sort of thing. And then I also noticed we're losing parking on the Front Street area by making that two-way traffic. So my concern would be that we definitely have some sort of additional parking available to do any of this, whether parking garage, like you mentioned, associated with the other project. But I'm sure you're looking to do this in phases. So we'd immediately lose some parking and we need to make up.
We are. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing conversation about parking down there. Certainly over the last year, we've added about 200 parking spaces down there in the form of the triangle lot and the reacquisition of the D'Estasio's property and what used to be a private parking lot, which now we've paved over and opened up to the public. So, and then in the immediate future, some of the improvements that could be made there would be to maybe restripe Market, get away from the parallel, and let's do some angle parking up there. Our 2007 parking management plan suggests that. So there are opportunities and things that the city's already done. And they know in the form of a plan that shows what we could do in those areas. And so that's something that could be implemented fairly quickly. I've had interest from the city council for us to revisit that to get some clear direction on what they'd like us to do as far as implementing some pieces of that parking management plan. So those are some of the immediate things we'd be looking at to, you know, sort of reacquire parking space or add parking spaces in that area. And then also looking at opportunities for parking structures there, identifying a location and working public-private partnerships to make that happen. That's not the only location that could happen. There's a couple of other ones down there that we've been talking with folks about too. So,
okay, yeah. Otherwise, I like the idea. I like the concept of going one way. Yeah, just the concerns on deliveries mainly.
Okay.
Okay, David.
My first concern, much like Chris's, was about parking, especially with, along with losing parking spots, the idea of redeveloping Off the Hooks building and Roses and Libertine, possibly for the use of a hotel, would require, again, a great impact on parking for residents who are staying in those places. Are you expecting the merchant to take care of that sort of parking and have it built into their footprint?
So no, we do not want to create, I think the desire right now, and we've gotten a lot of public input from our workshops and from our stakeholder outreach, is pretty clear that everybody says do away with a bunch of the parking that's down here and relocate it somewhere else. So I think we don't really want a bunch of the parking on site because we do, while it's okay probably to have hotels on the second floor, hotel units up there, on the first floor, this is sort of the hub down there of the Embarcadero. It's kind of the set. We're trying to create a focal point down there, and that should be pedestrian oriented. It should have restaurants. It should have retail that serves that, and it shouldn't have parking spaces. Not the best use of the area. So what do we do then? Well, unclear right now, but we have a few lease sites that are going through the process. We've talked to them about valet service opportunities, since there's a few of them that you can get sort of economies of scale with that. We might lease some of the parking spaces, say, in the triangle parking lot to them for a fee that would generate revenue for the city that we could use to, you know, put towards the parking effort in other areas. And then we're also looking at, again, parking structures and restriping streets and those types of things. So those are some of the things that we've talked to them about. Also, maybe the when we would lease those spaces to them, it would be for certain times of the day. Like those spaces are yours to use from 6 o'clock at night until 10 in the morning. And then when you go off, when you're here for 4 days and you're going to go off and go into San Luis to do something or go wine tasting or whatever, those things get occupied by, you know, visitors during the day, and then they open back up at 6 when those folks would come back into the town and they'd have a guaranteed spot. So those are some of the at least initial conversations we've had with some of the potential developers that would come in and do the redo on those lease sites. There are folks that have done a lot of development, some of which have done hotels in the past and have a lot of creative ideas for that. And those were a couple of them that were kind of bounced around in the beginning. So there's options out there. We've had specific conversations with the council about that, and even literally last night had conversations with council about the parking. And you know, they sort of recognize, as you know, do I, that we sort of need to work our way through this. And maybe it's not always a one-size-fits-all. There's probably a lot of things that happen that we can improve parking. You know, one of the things we could do is, a lot of people don't park in the triangle parking lot. They don't know that it's the city's lot. We don't have good wayfinding signage. We need to improve that. We know this because people don't park in there, and we have a busy weekend. That thing will be empty. So we're, you know, what's one of the other things we're looking at is directing people where we have the parking. Let them know where it's at. So there's a lot of things.
Has anyone ever approached the property owner of that vacant lot that sits between Sun and Buns and Fiona Blue, which looks like it could be prime parking right there?
So that's
without obstructing any view from, you know, the inn above on the bluff.
The inn above, the family owns it. The Hartzels own it. Yeah. We haven't had much luck making inroads in sitting down with them. Although one of the Hartzell boys, we were able to sit down with him. There's I think four siblings or whatever. And we tried to work so we could have get all of them in a room to talk to them about options because they own that piece. They own the piece to the south of the Blue Sail and the piece behind the Blue Sail. All those are theirs.
Yeah.
And we've tried to approach them about maybe, hey, is it possible that we could, you know, use some of that for parking on an interim basis, rent it from you, lease it from you, whatever. But we haven't been able to get all of the siblings in a room. Yeah. And I think there's some of them don't get along, I guess, or something. So
I've heard that the part of the conflict is that they don't want anything to develop there that would block the view of their rooms. But a parking lot seems like a perfect way to keep that from happening.
That's true. And we've said, hey, there's a lot of things that you could do that wouldn't have any impact whatsoever on your hotel. So from the view standpoint, and parking, yes, parking could be one of them. So.
Yeah. Another concern I have is usage. You mentioned, say, in the plaza at the bottom of Centennial Stairway, could be used for events like Farmer's Market. And, of course, we all know that there's a major concern with the business owners in downtown Morro Bay and how to keep that lively. And one of the events they count on is Farmer's Market. Has this committee approached them to ask about shifting use of things that happen in their part of town to a new development in town down on the Embarcadero?
That was an example of things that you could program into spaces like that. I don't know that that's what we would do there. I just said that's one of the types of things that you could have there. We are, you know, going through a downtown waterfront strategic planning process that is also part of the general plan and local coastal program update process, and that's to better connect the downtown and the waterfront. And to come up with some design guidelines for those, figure out how to get people that are down here on the Embarcadero up to the downtown. So we're actually working in the other direction, trying to improve, you know, the patronage in the downtown from a lot. We have a lot of visitors come, but most of them tend to stay down there and don't know really there's anything up the bluff. And so we're trying to work on that as well. And this is part of that. This is showing you that, hey, maybe there's something nice up there that you might want to go look at. And then we got to make the connection the next two blocks up because it's kind of no man's land up there on Morro Bay Boulevard. But we're working that. So.
Yeah, I'd heard that early on in this plan that the idea was to open a thoroughfare between downtown and the Embarcadero use.
Yeah.
And then my last comment would be on the use of the Embarcadero. I'm for two-way traffic as opposed to one. And my question on the one-way is, at some point, it must turn into two-way or it becomes a trap down at the launch ramp. You can get down there, but then you can't get back out. So at what block would it turn into, would it shift from one-way to
look
two-way?
Like Marina.
Your diagram stops at Marina. Is that?
Yeah, that's it. The area that's in red, it would just be the area between that you see there between Harbor and Marina would be that
it's
potentially.
Perfect right there.
Yeah.
Two-way.
All right.
And it could and we also looked at maybe making it even shorter and just having it go to, through Harbor to Pacific. That was also one of the options that we've looked at. This is just the last one that sort of went through the process. But it was just that short area, so you can do kind of a couplet type design where you
or we could have a ferry boat where people just drive off the launch ramp onto the boat and we take them to Los Osos.
Okay, Jan.
Okay. In my rose-colored world, there would be no traffic there at all. It would be all pedestrian. But since that's not going to happen, I would prefer the one-way parking, the one-way street. The other thing, talking about parking off-site, is there a possibility, you know, that big lot on the corner of Beach and Main? That has been for sale forever. Would that ever?
It was recently purchased.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Not for a parking lot, I'm assuming.
I don't know that. There was a couple of calls that came in. Well, I haven't verified that it's purchased, so it may just be an escrow. But one of our planners told me that she spoke with someone that said they had purchased it, so unclear mm-hmm. whether they actually had it or it was in escrow. But
okay. I've just been to a lot of meetings and a lot of that planning academy and everything. Everybody's always talking about the way you want to get people downtown, to liven up businesses, is to get the cars out because you want them to see what's there. You don't want them to drive by what's there. So after all this stuff I'm hearing about and making it more pedestrian, making it more more bikes, put plants in front of shops, you know, all that sounds really great. And that's what I would like to eventually see, but I guess we have to take baby steps to get there. And what I like this plan about of the plans that were submitted for this remake of the Centennial Stairway. Except the only thing, I don't like so much concrete looking in it. I would prefer more natural, more organic looking to it, if not. And I'm glad the lights are lower, because I didn't want all the lights. We're mm-hmm. Morro Bay, we're not a cookie cutter city. And I would just like to keep it natural, organic, mm-hmm. more. And so those are my comments.
Rick?
Yeah, I've got a variety of things to comment on. Looking under the vision statement on the top of the pages you gave us tonight, you know, by capitalizing on Morro Bay's rich history and identity as a fishing village. I think those are key things in the vision statement there. Where do I start? There were a couple things in the designs that showed archways and some structure at the top of the stairway, some sort of superstructure. All of these things block views.
Well, those were that was from the previous design. Okay. It's removed in this one. This one doesn't. The only thing that's up there is an art feature. So if you're looking at the drawing that's here on the front page, that's there. What you see sticking up there is simply public art. It did originally have a superstructure type thing on it. When they looked at it, it was metal and kind of tall and when we went through the council and the HAB and the planning commission, they were kind of like lose that. So just like you said. That didn't go over very well. They said you have a perfect view of the rock out there, and putting things in front of it just puts stuff in the way. So that's a very good point.
Okay, and I'm not sure if it was pulled out. Also, there was an archway down on the as you're starting to go out onto the pier.
There's no archway there. That was really just to open it up and create a better view through
all right,
there. Now,
good.
Yeah.
Let's see. And you've already mentioned the vertical column pier lights are out. Mm-hmm. That's great. I think we need to make it as dark sky friendly as possible down there with all of the lighting, regardless of where it's located in the area. The more low lighting it is, you know, you need to think comfy, cozy, romantic strolling along that area rather than sort of a Las Vegas. What is a pop-up bollard as opposed to just a bollard?
So those are ones that can be raised and lowered. And so why would you have that? So we would be turning Front Street, we would be closing that off to traffic. But there might be a need certain times to have emergency access through there, at which point the bollards could be lowered. And so that was the option. And maybe those end up being too expensive, and they just have ones that you can unlock and remove. There's those types too. But that's what those are.
And I know I just have an old-fashioned paper dictionary. What's a sharrow?
Sharrow are the sort of chevron stripes that you paint on the ground with a bicycle behind it to let you know that you're on the road and you're sharing it with people that are on bikes. Okay. And we have some of those in town, right, Rob?
Yeah, I've seen some. I just didn't know the term.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Beachcomber, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. The other traffic control device that you might use instead of a Shero is one that's fairly new in the MUT manual on uniform traffic control devices, is a sign that says bicycles may use full lane. So you can just, you know, occupy the lane, which is what actually happens down on the Embarcadero right now, is you have to be safe, you have to get in the middle of the lane. You shouldn't be driving too close to the parked cars. Okay.
And if you go with the concept of the elevator, normally elevators have a superstructure above them. I see that as also an obstruction to the part of the visual corridor where it's located there. But
that's actually a good point. Some of that area would be blocked by the development that's up there. I mean, it wouldn't be taller than the development that's there. It would be similar in height to whatever the development ends up going in that location, or similar in height to D'Estasio's building. But looking out that way, it would stick out beyond the building. So yeah, if you're looking to the, if you're standing up there looking south, then yeah, you're correct. So yeah. I'll make a note of that. Yeah.
That's why I sort of thought, well, maybe that funicular idea would be a little better than an elevator, but because of the visual aspect of it. Let's see. And looking at some of these older versions of the sidewalk widening areas, it sounds great on the surface, you know, widen it 10-foot, 12-foot sidewalks, but then you stick all of these other things in there, so you end up with what it said, at two people, four foot wide, two feet per person, 4 foot wide corridor, and you're basically at where you started with, without all of these improvements. You know, what you really need is to have, 8 feet of unobstructed walking so that you have two pairs of people going opposite directions. Has that been brought up by anybody?
Yes, we've talked about it. It's interesting that you see them on there because this is one of the issues that was raised previously. I'll be honest with you, I'm seeing this at the same time you are. I haven't seen this before because I just literally got it at about 5 o'clock today. We were going to limit the area. So there's some, you see the pop-outs that go into the road?
Yes.
That's what we were going to put the benches, I think, based on the last conversation that we had. And that's probably mostly where they would end up being located moving forward. But so that's a good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the areas up against the buildings, all of that, where they show the flower pots and the other plans, you know, a couple of feet sticking out. Mm-hmm. I can see where, you know, the parking spaces, the bulb outs at those where, okay, yeah, stick some benches or something in there, but the then up against the building, you run into the same problem. You know, you just got too many obstructions out there. And a fire pit at the end of the pier, that seems ridiculous.
It's removed from the plan that you have in front of you. That was from the old plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the rest of the fire pits, are those still in there?
The rest of the fire pits are on the plan. Yeah. That was
On something like that, are we expecting the businesses to provide the energy and maintenance and cleaning and safety responsibility of having fire pits out there?
I don't know that we've gotten to that level of detail yet.
because that just seems like a really high responsibility and expense ongoing.
And it's interesting, this came out of the public workshops that we had. Several of the folks at the workshops brought it up and really liked the idea. So that's why it's in here, because it's what the public told us they wanted. And so we put it forward and it sort of persisted. I think several folks that have looked at it had similar concerns to what you're saying, is what's the maintenance, who's taking care of these, who's paying for it, that type of thing. Again, details to be worked out as we implement improvements. And are we going to have three of them down there? I don't know. That's kind of expensive. So we might end up with one and something else. Uh-huh. I don't know. I guess this is more of the canvas that we're painting on, and gives you sort of the options of what could be. You know, what will be is likely slightly different because it'll be what's negotiated with the folks that are paying for it.
Yeah, I was looking through those various lists of, you know, from the workshops, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people that they just love Disneyland. So they want Disneyland wherever they go, and a lot of these things sort of seem to be carrying over, which is contrary to the concept of Morro Bay's rich history and identity as a fishing village. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so those are my sort of comments. I think the simpler the better, because the bay is really the draw. This is what, you know, we don't want to take the focus away from the bay. Let's see, and I'll sort of disagree with Stu on the glass bottom pier.
Luckily, it's not on.
It's not. Oh.
There's just a, on the new one, there's just a port, there's just a porthole type thing. It's relatively small. There's one at the tip of the pier thing. It's not, the whole end isn't glass. The original one, when it was shown, that was option B, was a full glass thing at the end. I think most people thought that was maybe pie in the sky when they saw it.
Okay.
This is more like, you know, I mean, they have these at the, in what, the restaurant at the end of the pier in Avila, you know, when you look down through the tables, it's small, you know, it'd be round and kind of a feature to go look at, but it's not like, you know, standing probably, well, you could stand on it, but you know, it's not the whole end of the pier.
I just think you get a much better experience looking over the rail and, you know, looking out to where the boats are, and you can look at the water from looking over the rail. It just seems like another one of those things that it's sort of a fad now. Everybody has to get these glass things that you walk on and look straight down. And there's so much more out there to see, and I can just see it deteriorating over the years, and then it just becomes an ugly, scratched up piece of plastic. I think that's about all that I've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate all this.
Thank you, Rick. Sure, go ahead. Well, I've got some too, so go ahead.
A friend of mine has a little locomotive that has cars that haul 20 people in it, 20, 40, 60, 80, in a park where I'm from. And it's quite effective. At one time, there was a railroad tracks here, wasn't there? Weren't they moving rock from the bay or from the rock up and back to slow?
I'm not sure the railroad went all the way to slow from there. There was one along the causeway that went from the rock to basically mainland, and then they would load. I'm not sure what they were loading, but there was a railway from the Hartford Pier in Avila into SLO. I know, and the breakwater at Port San Luis is Morro Rock. That's my other tidbit of information that I have for tonight. But that was shipped down there, not via rail.
Okay, I'm just thinking out loud, and it'd be neat to see a little locomotive kind of a thing, like the Napomo's got that little railroad thing with a track that goes up to Old Town, around and back down the Embarcadero, which would make us extremely unique and would draw lots and lots of people, I'm sure. But we need to move the people from probably the rock, the parking lot on the rock, over to the Embarcadero, and how are we going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I've got a few questions, and first of all, I don't want to come off like a gloomy Gus, but the engineer in me jumps at a lot of things I see on here, and I do have some concerns. First of all, Scott, does the city have ownership of all the property I see that these improvements are on? Or is any of it private, or
it's all city?
Oh, okay.
It's all city, or all it's either city's outright or city lease sites that we maintain.
You have public control trust of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second question is: is the cafe seating shown next to D'Estacio's and Dorn's? Is that for their exclusive use, or is that for the public to sit around and
public?
Oh, okay. I know we ran to a real, I don't want to say pissing match, but in this town we had a lot of problems with the parklets out in front of some of the businesses along Main Street, and I'm just wondering if you're going to run into the same kind of buzzsaw with this, where the public could sit right outside. It looks like it's on the same level. If I'm reading it wrong, it might be vertically separated from both those businesses, but I can't.
It would be so the seating that they're showing. There's the two seating areas that you see that are on the sort of right side of the plaza, one's at the, so there's a seating area there, that's up on top of the bluff.
Oh. Okay.
And then down here, that's on the bottom of the bluff.
Yeah, the one on the bottom's next to the bathroom, so I didn't think that was any issue for the private businesses. But the other one looks like it's sitting right outside the Dorns and right outside the D'Estacio's. So I was just wondering when it's like cafe seating.
The one that's outside of the Dorns is, I think, just Dorns seating. That's just Dorns. This would be public seating. We have a lot of areas along the Embarcadero, a lot of the lease sites have public seating that folks can purchase food at one of the restaurants and go sit at a lot of times. Okay. And so, and then those folks and those owners or lease site owners will maintain the seating and those types of things. We go back and forth on that a lot because pretty soon you end up with setups out on the table and then we're like, can't have those. You got to take them off. And it's a little bit of cat and mouse that we play with them, but. But yeah, we have a lot of those situations that are along the Embarcadero.
Oh, okay. I just didn't want to see you guys running into the same kind of issues you had with. Because honestly, I thought the parklets were a decent idea. The fire pits got addressed, I think, to my... I didn't know who's running them or why, and I could see real issues. It'll be the first thing you shut off when gas becomes the next thing we have to conserve on. So... has any cost been quantified for this as far as any cost estimates as part of RRM's contract?
No, and it wasn't something we scoped it for either. It was kind of to come up with a design. We knew this was more, it was a comprehensive planning process that we went through, but we didn't get to that level, mostly because it's kind of like I said, this is more of a menu type thing. Like, what are the things we'd like to see down here? Okay. Staff, go negotiate that because we're going to have other people pay for it. And we knew we didn't have money for it. So we knew we weren't, this is not something you can really go get grant funding for.
Right.
It would have to either be cash out of our pocket, which we don't have, or we negotiate something with a private party to make this happen. And so
would it be fair to say there's basically a specific plan for the Centennial Parkway area?
Well, it's specific.
Where you're going to put development requirements on any of the new leaseholds coming in along it.
That is likely how this is going to work. Yes.
Oh, okay. So I call that a specific plan, and you sit there and you meet the guidelines that have been established as part of it. Is that a fair?
But it is what we will roll out to the folks that are doing development in that area, and we'll tell them this is what we're looking for. They would go get cost estimates, see what that costs, and then come back to us when they negotiate on the Embarcadero side, or on the water side, sorry. They would come back as part of their lease negotiations, and just like when they do additions to their lease sites or redo those, they come back and we enter into long-term leases, 50 years maybe. If it's a full lease site redo, maybe they're a little bit longer, and maybe our lease terms on how they pay us are less if they put that in. I mean, it's just a negotiation.
So you'll try and catch it where you can catch it is what you're saying,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, these are a few of my other concerns. Looking at that turnaround on Front Street, I don't think that's big enough to negotiate a vehicle around. I could be wrong. I don't know if it's been thought out at all by RRM at the point in time, but
they did make measurements on it.
It looks awful tight to me. I'm sorry. I design roads for a living, Scott.
Yeah.
And especially you may have delivery trucks going down front because I think there is a few businesses. Isn't there a few businesses back this way?
No, not this portion of it, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it really just comes up behind Sun and Buns.
Oh, okay.
There's parking, and then you can drive by what is the Centennial Stair and then go back out on the Embarcadero if you want to.
I heard you say for the emergency vehicles, you're giving them an out because there's no way in heck they would get, they'd be doing Y turns and trying to coddle around that one. All I'm bringing this out at, Scott, is if it does go forward, I would make sure that it indeed can handle the turning movements of people trying to get around that little thing in the middle. The next one is, this is always a big concern of mine because I've worked in a city that was purely touristy as in Rob's position, and it's maintenance. And it's, do you have enough staff? Because I don't know if this falls on Public Works or Parks, because you got slides there. You have things that fall into more of the park realm, and then you have parts of it that fall into the... I think as you move forward with this, you got to realize it creates a boatload of maintenance to keep this up, to look nice, because this is beautiful. You know, if I saw this down there tomorrow, I'd say, hey, that really looks cool. Will it look cool a year from now if it's not maintained? And unfortunately in this town, anything that is not maintained, the ocean takes back. You know, it turns into a rust bucket, or it turns into a bunch of bird poop, or whatever the case may be. And I think that needs to be thought into this as part of your going forward with it. And then my last, and it's more on the traffic issue side, the one-way kind of scares me. It really does. And the reason is you got them going southbound, so every turn movement onto the Embarcadero is a left-hand turn movement. And they're cutting across bicycles in a chute that are heading into the direction of that left turn movement. The bicyclists, and I ride my bike down there a lot. I don't drive the Embarcadero as a general rule. And when I see one-way traffic and you're caught in something that you can't get out of because it's curbed on both sides, my next question was going to be, if I was going to go mid-block between Pacific and Front, and I'm riding in that thing, I've got to go down, then I actually have to go back down the street with the cars anyway to get back to mid-street, because there's no ingress or egress points along that bike path mid-block. So I have real concerns with the one-way. I think the two-way, or if you were going to go one-way, I'd send them in the northbound direction, because then they're all right turn movements coming off of the deal, because that's where accidents occur. It's not usually somebody backing into somebody or, you know, hitting them from behind. It's usually turn movements that cause those kind of issues. Those are my concerns. I think it looks cool. I think it's a good goal for a guideline to have. I would hope to see, I don't see the city having the money to implement this right now, especially in lieu of what's going on with our streets and the fact that Measure J may or may not pass. And there's going to be additional monies asked for, I got a feeling, coming down the pike as part of the rest of it. But it would be nice to see something like this. At least you have a vision of what you're trying to do down in that area. And as these leaseholds come in, or whoever can take opportunity of it, I assume the area up near the chessboard is going to be on the city, because there's no real businesses right in that little area of the world. But
well, actually, no. That's probably the more likely one to get built from, because we'd be working that RFQ process I mentioned earlier. So we'd be in the package would be the city's parking lot, where the bathroom sits right now, which sits directly adjacent to this. The whole plaza area there sits right adjacent to city-owned property in the form of the parking lot, up the bluff to the Stasio's, and then across the street even to the parking lot for that. So we would be negotiating lease of that and construction of some sort of plaza concept, with that RFQ. Literally, the RFQ would include these things. And by the way, we're expecting you to put some of these improvements in for the plaza thing, and then we'd have to work out to see what that would look like. But that's how it's going to go out when we
see that. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll know pretty soon. If we don't get anybody to respond, then we'll know we were, you know, way off base.
Well, before I close it to the public, I was wondering if there's any public comment out there regarding this item B2. Okay.
Steve, I still have a comment.
Okay.
Let's see. Where are those comments? And I was thinking one way also being the best way until you mentioned that about the bicycles.
Yeah, it makes it a scary situation.
Yeah.
A little bit to me.
Do we know, and I'm guessing, that Harbor Street probably gets more of the traffic feeding the Embarcadero than Pacific Street? Do we have any numbers on that?
Do you know specifically, Rob? I mean, that's the way people go, you know.
Because of the breakup, you know, way up. uptown.
Just anecdotally from being down there, I would say Harbor Street gets more of the traffic than okay. Pacific. I'd say Pacific gets more going up, Harbor gets more coming down, is my observation.
That's been my observation too over the years, and you know, the idea of turning the traffic going northbound as a one-way traffic as opposed to southbound would probably distort a lot of people for a while who come into town and go down Harbor Street as opposed to Pacific. But everything would be eventually re-signed. If that is looked at as going northbound Embarcadero on the one way, I would say only between Harbor and Pacific right. streets, not carry it down to Marina. And let's see, what else did I have? On the view of the Distacios, the perspective looking east, that looks a lot larger than what I think Distacios, you know, looking at this other picture, all of that building construction extending, you know, out westerly from the street up there. Is that really in perspective?
They actually had a good example. I guess a while ago we had a project that was proposed in that location, and that was approximately what the perspective of that project would have looked like. I've had the opportunity to look at it. I think Burt Caldwell, Libertine owner, was a part of that concept that went through, and it did look something like that. And RRM knows Burt Caldwell, and so maybe that's where they got the drawing or the idea of the concept of what could be, but it's similar to the renderings that were done for that. And it's meant to show, you know, what that might look like redeveloped. So that's the idea.
Okay. That was it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Any other questions before I take it to public comments? What I'll do is I'll close it to public comments. Then we could discuss or comment on anything we wish to discuss. And I don't think anybody from the public, so I'll go ahead and close it to public input. Any finishing comments from anyone? I'll start with you.
Looking forward a few years, I can see where we're going to need to provide more parking and then ways to move. And, of course, we've talked a little bit about parking at the Rock and maybe having paid parking down there and so on, but that needs to be in part of the plan that we think about what's happening. We're going to be adding more businesses at downtown, two or three restaurants or whatever, four or five restaurants. People need a place to park, and of course we can move them back and forth with shuttles and so on, but we need to find a place where they can park. We also need to clearly identify with signage what's going on, you know, two-way bikes that will traffic permitted or park here and those kinds of things. So we need to let the public know that haven't been here and even the ones that have been here that we've changed things and this is where it is and this is how we can help you.
Yeah, we do have a plan moving forward for wayfinding signage. We're working on that as part of the downtown waterfront strategic plan. So.
Okay. But all in all, I think this is a great idea and it'll put Morro Bay on the Rock too. On the list.
On the Rock. Okay, how about you, Chris? Any comments?
Basically, I think it's a great plan, like Stu mentioned and like I mentioned earlier. I think parking is a big concern, so maybe just to maybe guarantee a certain number of spaces is in the RFP or RFQ of the Distacios project is to specify, hey, we want this many parking spaces provided in a parking structure. That's kind of buried in the middle of the project, so it's obviously not an eyesore either, but that might be one way just so that we know we're getting a guaranteed certain number of spaces.
It's a good idea.
Okay. How about you, Dave? Any final comments?
Well, you brought up an interesting point regarding the flow of one-way traffic and bicycle traffic as well and the conflict
well,
there.
Well, they have them opposite. They actually have the bicycles going in the opposite direction of the way that vehicles were going,
right?
And that was kind of interesting.
You need to get back, right? If we have you going one way, we need to let you go back, and so that's why it was a separated.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, you got to get out of that little chute, so to speak, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And you mentioned that any kind of coming onto the Embarcadero or leaving the Embarcadero crosses through the bike path.
Yeah, they're all left-turn movements from and, Harbor, but from Pacific.
No matter which way you end, if we went with one way, whether it was north or south, what's the option of taking that parking that's now on the west side and moving it to the east side and putting the bike lane to the west side so no one would ever cross any of the bike path?
We talked about it a while ago. The issue is most of the trucks that are offloading come down on the Embarcadero on the west side, and so that's where we needed to have the loading and unloading, because if we don't put it there, then they won't use it. So
they're not there that long. They can cross the street with their dollies and hand trucks a couple of times and then leave.
Well, the thing I noticed down, and I ride my bike down there a bit, is the traffic's moving slow enough. You could share it, and I do occupy the lane as I'm going down it, because I'm a slow rider, but I could still keep up or unfortunately overtake a lot of the vehicles. Okay, Janie, finishing comments?
My finishing comments are basically what they were before. I like the plan overall. I just would like it to be, like I said before, more natural, more organic, more toned down, not glitzy, not Disneyland, but more Obey.
Okay. And you, Rick?
I'll second what Jan just said. Okay. Thank you.
And I want to just state that I'm not against the plan. I just, when I'm going through a plan, I look at it and try to see the things that concern me or not. I think it's a very good idea. I think it's a good idea for this city to have a vision of what they want down there, because you're going through a lot of leases here in the near future right in that area, and at least you're giving these people some direction on where the city wishes to go with it. My only real concerns is the one-way traffic for a lot of different reasons, making sure that there's adequate traffic movements in the turnarounds and things of that nature. And that actually city plans for the maintenance and the ability to have staff to carry out that maintenance. Because that's one of the biggest problems. When you can always throw in new capital improvements, but you got to take care of the capital. There is always that.
I think you're making Rob really happy with this.
No, he's going to leave it to Parks. I'm sure.
We are Parks.
He is Parks.
I am Parks.
Yeah, they're not separate.
In either case, I think they're, are they looking for some kind of just a recommendation?
I think you've given me enough comments. No one said, heck no, don't do it. So that's a real positive. And then the comments that you gave were fantastic. I mean, you really gave me great comments. And so I'm going to boil those all down, and we'll forward those on as we, you know, move down the road when we report back to council. So I think your input is great the way you gave it to me. I don't know that I need much else. I mean, it's good.
I must admit, I've sat here for, what, about 7 years now, Rob, and I've seen this three times in different incarnations, from the funicular to the sublime, as they say. So it has been an interesting process. This is one I think that, you know, hopefully we can wrap our arms around and make happen. So I'll go ahead and we'll close B2. I have a quick question for you, Rob, before we go into the potential future. With Marlis gone, she was chair. Does it need to be agendized for us to vote how we're going to go forward on the chair, vice chair, all that?
We can either agendize that or wait until normal elections, which are in February.
Oh, okay. That'd be fine. Okay. Okie doke. I'd like you guys to think about it. I sit as vice chair, and that's why I'm up here tonight. And I'm not gunning for the chairman spot. I'd take it on if nobody's willing to want to take it on. If I do, then we'll need a vice chair. So think about if you wish to be the chair, so that when we do get back to this, that we have the opportunity to vote on it accordingly. And potential future, did you want to talk about any of the potential future agenda items at all, Rob?
Other than in January, we are going to do the revisit the council adopted work plan for PWAB, so it'll be start of the new year. I figured that'd be a good time to start looking at that. As you notice, we are not proposing to have a meeting during the holiday week. right before Christmas holiday. So the next meeting is proposed for January 18th here. We still need to do a little bit more staff work on the Adopt a Street Park program, and then Memorial Bench program. We do have quite the waiting list for folks that want benches. We're about to put a bunch more out at the Rock, this time concrete benches. Probably should have had, we should add that to the director's report, but we're about to place that order to add about between the Target Rock side and the Morrow Rock beach side, about 30 benches along there, concrete benches, so less maintenance than those wood benches right on the waterfront.
Good thinking. Other than that, I'll go ahead. Go ahead, Rick.
Just a reminder that with the new council sitting, there will be four positions that will be potentially available for appointment to the Public Works Advisory Board, and we know one position absolutely will be vacant, which was Marlis's. So encourage people in the public to apply for any and all of the positions.
Thank you, Rick. And with that, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
I know. It's fine. It was interesting. I don't mind them when they go long and they're interesting. So I'll, since my notes are a little